Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Radio. I'm your show host, J. Richard Jones. Today we're going to be talking about simulation training. This is a vital technology that's growing rapidly within our industry. We're going to examine what's available in the present and what some of the challenges are. We're also going to talk about the future and what some of the benefits are going to be. We have two very special guests with us who come at this topic from two different areas. And before I brought them onto the show, I asked each of them, what do you think is going to be the most important aspect of simulation training? If you had to leave our listenership and readership with one thought, what would it be when it comes to simulation training? And both responded back with, it's about accessibility in the future and ease. And it's also about the coming products that are going to serve our industry and how much improvements will be able to be made. I think that's two of the key points for sure. And I want to tell you a little more about our guests. Our first guest is Anita Pollock. She is president and co-founder of RaceRocks 3D. Our second guest is Kathy Press, CEO of Chinook Helicopters. Both of these ladies are very accomplished in their own right as entrepreneurs, as business leaders, and they're very involved in our communities. So what I've done is I've created an audio segment at the end of this show where you can hear the bios for both Anita and Kathy. Give it a listen. I think you'll find the information to be really interesting. So let's begin our program. So to jump in, I'd like to ask our guests to come on and begin with some of our questions for this morning. Why don't we start with you, Anita? What's your experience been with simulation training and how long have you been doing it?
Thanks, John. RaceRocks has been developing technology-enabled learning for over a decade, including simulation training. We've always pushed for realism in our training environments and also providing a cost-effective simulation solution. We've learned a lot in this last decade, and some areas where we've seen simulation evolve is capturing the knowledge of subject matter experts that are aging out of the workforce. We had an opportunity back in 2018 to work with an international aerospace company to develop maintenance training in a VR headset. The benefits for this were actually capturing the knowledge of the industry experts. The tool then was able to provide feedback to the learner using guide me, show me, guide me, test me. This is similar to if an instructor was standing beside them providing feedback.
So, Kathy, especially with the Chinook helicopter, this must be a bit of a game changer. What's been your experience with this, and how do you see it evolving in terms of simulation training?
Well, it was approximately 12 years ago that we sort of started seeing different products starting to enter in a more traditional projection type of form. And we started building in-house units. And I guess it was really because of the cost. We could see that the production of different pieces was the simulation market has always been on the aviation side. A very, very expensive endeavor, where on the helicopter side especially, many of the simulators run at about between 10 and 20 million to emulate a helicopter that might actually only be about 10 million. So as technology has grown, we've been able to sort of take advantage of that. And so we see that only continuing, actually, from our perspective.
Anita, RaceRocks 3D is really on the leading edge of a lot of the technologies that help to augment reality. You're involved in the actual kind of storytelling in terms of video, and the format that you're using is probably very well received as a training tool, but you're also immersed in a number of industries, including defense, oil, and gas, as well as the Royal Canadian Navy and aerospace and probably a whole lot of other areas that I don't even know about. And I'd be curious to know, what are the benefits to the learners from using this type of immersive technology?
Well, sort of taking a play on what Kathy said about it becoming more affordable, the two top benefits we see is also now the ease and accessibility of these immersive technologies, like the extended reality headsets, including VR and augmented reality. These allow for increasingly true-to-job experiences with easier access for learners than traditional simulators. In the past, we would find that entire rooms were needed to equip to reach immersion. Now with these XR solutions that Chinook and RaceRox are building, there's a smaller footprint, an affordable price tag, and the ability for the learners to simulate, to run the simulations themselves. So we see that as the number one benefit. And the second one that we're seeing actually simulation training being applied to is for continuous practice. These technologies are convenient, and a task that is only performed a couple times a year can be repeated in a simulation right before the real task is actioned.
So Kathy, Chinook helicopters, I think you've trained students in 68 different countries, and you're involved in a lot of similar industries compared to RaceRox 3D as well. How have you seen the training evolve? And I'm assuming it's implemented across industries like the military, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Transport Canada, the Air Force. Would that be correct?
Yes. Well, obviously, aviation is very regulated. And so because of that regulation, we are always bound to have actual aircraft hours flown for flight training. And the simulation side is giving the sort of what we're doing now is we're actually supporting a lot of that in aircraft simulation. And what we're trying to do is actually have a product of a person that comes to market at a cheaper, faster rate, because we have a very much a shortage of people right at the moment. And so we need to look at how do we get people from a position of work ready or whatever their mission is faster. And so we're seeing these this simulation technique really be able to offer that and to augment in the traditional training sense.
I guess, Kathy, one of the questions I wanted to ask you in terms of training, actually, I'll ask you both, is let's talk about costs. Right now, it seems kind of expensive, simulation training. What's your take on that?
Well, the simulation training, it really varies. Obviously, several years ago, I actually traveled to several aircraft manufacturers and was contemplating having a traditional simulator training center in Western Canada. And the challenge is we don't have that many people necessarily. The helicopter especially is a very niche type of business. And so to take a level D simulator and put the dollars into it in Western Canada can be very challenging. And so going into the new technology, we're looking at a platform that's probably like almost 2% of the cost of a traditional level D simulator. And so as we move down this, we're seeing a number of people that are job ready faster. And that's really essentially what we're getting into right now.
So actually, in a way, it's actually fairly cost effective.
That's right, because what everybody's worried about is having people able to do jobs. Now, here's something that we're looking at that we haven't yet actually documented the success, but that is a firefighting. We have a number of people that are retiring in our industry, and as they get into the industry of firefighting, which is only growing because of our planet having higher temperatures, we're basically training people not only the technique of the water bucketing, but how to work with other aircraft, other communications around a fire. And this will be, we feel that we see people worldwide needing this type of skill.
Anita, COVID was a terrible thing, but out of it, I think technology has been really blossoming. So when it comes to the cost benefit analysis, do you see technology being able to reduce the cost in the future?
Yes, definitely. We find that simulation training, the price of it is definitely decreasing. And with that, we see it opening up new markets. Before it was like Kathy was saying, it was only really in those high stakes training environments where simulation was being applied in those highly regulated industries. Now we see it in other areas like familiarization, repairs and maintenance, and people skills. And back in 2017, RaceRox had the opportunity to work with the Royal Canadian Navy and train their crew using ship familiarization for their interim auxiliary vessel before the ship was even built.
Wow, that's just incredible. Where do you see the future of training going, Anita?
We are leaning heavily into data in adaptive learning environments. And one of the benefits to using computer technologies to build your simulation is the potential to glean data to better adapt the training to the learner's needs. We find that we can track not only errors and successes, but also response time, eye movement, and other physical movements to get a better understanding of common mistakes. And the best part about this is then we find where the gaps are in the training.
So technology-enabled training then is only going to improve.
Absolutely. As long as we begin to capture more and more data, the better we can understand the training path for each individual learner and then customize the training for them.
Can you comment a little bit on the role of AI as this process goes through? Where do you see that?
I can't really speak to it as an expert. It's something that we're doing in R&D right now and just starting to apply it. So we haven't actually seen any of the benefits from it. But if we look at other industries, I know right now there's a tool out there where you can speak to it, and it's actually a speech AI where you can talk to it about a subject that you want to speak to, and it can actually generate your presentation for you. So the amount of the opportunities are endless, and we're really excited to dig into it further in 2023.
I could imagine in the field, this type of technology, if it's not being used already for training, I mean, imagine in a situation, an emergency situation where something has to be fixed or somebody's been hurt, and you can use this technology to quickly reference or connect and work through in real visualization while you're performing a task. I think that has a lot of legs. Would you care to comment on that, Kathy?
Yeah, I think that teamwork is one of the things that we'll be able to do with simulation in the future. I think that by creating a group of simulation people working together, we'll be able to definitely teach teamwork.
Anita, is there when we're talking about simulation training, can you comment a little bit about where it would be used for aviation or defense situations? And then I'd like Kathy to give you an opportunity to weigh in as well.
Definitely. I'll take the marine focus on this because we just delivered a fast boat simulator to the Royal Canadian Navy. So the naval operations differ greatly depending on time of day, weather, and sea state. So sometimes it's not possible to offer consistent training for training needs for the individual and also for assessment. So using a full motion fast boat simulator that we developed for the Navy, it allowed for scenarios to be developed and offered to all learners to not only target important procedures, but how to respond in various conditions, which is pretty much impossible to do in a real life training scenario.
And Kathy, would you care to weigh in?
Well, specifically helicopter level, like very traditional simulators on the helicopter, haven't had the fidelity to really teach a lot of the helicopter skills. In other words, trees, grass, wind, and all of these environmental things that are around, especially on a helicopter, there hasn't been a lot of emphasis in that area. And in the virtual reality, we can have the blades of grass change at a different level where the grass is at a different height. We can have the trees affected. And so much of a pilot's decision making is coming from the environment around them. And so as this environment that they are able to operate in a VR world increases, then the value for training definitely increases for the pilot.
Anita, RaceRocks 3D has certainly been very successful in Canada. Do you have any plans to expand internationally?
We potentially do in our strategic planning right now. We're looking at exporting in probably, hopefully, late 2024, early 2025. Right now, we still see so much opportunity in the Canadian market, especially in defense and aerospace. We are focusing for the short term on the Canadian market.
Anita, measurement and feedback to people who are training is pretty important. And before we came on the show, you were sharing an example of one particular person who had an opportunity to test themselves and measure against industry experts. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Yeah, definitely. With all of our new technologies at RaceRox, we are super excited when we can have user feedback and user testing to sort of get an idea of if we're going in the right direction. And we had a chance to talk to some naval personnel that had tried our fast boat simulator. And a common thread was the trainees being able to benchmark their own performance against industry experts. This gave them insights into their own areas for improvement. And we found that that was super interesting, that the trainee not only wanted to have the training, but they really want to know where they were at versus some of the industry experts. And so instead of getting feedback from their instructor, they were getting insights back from the training platform.
That's really interesting. And that also ties into a conversation you and I had, Kathy. I think you're working on a beta project with universities where they're going to work on trying to document the training so that they can understand how many hours are required versus the benefits. Can you share a little bit about that with us?
Yes, of course, on the aviation side, we're very much driven by rules, and we're driven very much by the outcomes of what those traditionally have been. And so we need to start to document to find out exactly what sort of value in a traditional aircraft that we can do for the average person. So we need a large enough group of people that we've put through to basically say that the percentage of value that we can bring on the real aircraft for future development in regulatory and for value.
You've been listening to Vanguard Radio. Our special guests, Anita Pollock, president and co-founder of RaceRox 3D, and Kathy Press, CEO of Chinook Helicopters. And we've been talking about the present, the future, and the benefits of simulation training. I hope you found it informative, and I'd like to thank you both ladies for joining us today.
Excellent. Thank you, John. And thank you, Kathy.
Thank you. And thank you, Anita. Thank you very much, both of you.
Anita Pollock, the president and co-founder of RaceRox 3D, is an experienced entrepreneur and owner of successful startup companies in a number of diverse fields, including technology, clean energy, construction, and storage. Anita is a natural leader who has been recognized within the tech sector as having won the ViaTech Technology Leader of the Year in 2018, as well as Tech Company of the Year in 2017. She's really a driving force behind the company's diversity, inclusion, and equal opportunity culture. She also provides a voice for the Indigenous female leaders to many groups, including the Defense Industry Advisory Group, or DIAG. And to add to this, Anita and her team recently won the Victoria Technology Award for Employer of the Year. Our next guest, Kathy Press, CEO of Chinook Helicopters, is the first female helicopter flight instructor in Canada. Kathy started flying at 11 years of age. Kathy took over the family business from her father, Larry Press, and grew Chinook from two helicopters to an internationally recognized flight school. She has a long history of persevering towards big challenges and goals, which has led her to success both as an aviator and a business leader. Kathy currently holds many Transport Canada helicopter and airplane authorities, including pilot examinator and helicopter approved check pilot. Kathy is the chair of the Flight Training Committee for HAC, Helicopter Association of Canada, vice chair for BCAC, that's the BC Aviation Council, and is board member of the IWF, International Women's Federation. She also sits on business advisory committees for the University of Fraser Valley and the British Columbia Institute of Technology. In 2021, the University of Fraser Valley awarded Kathy an honorary doctorate in technology for her longstanding commitment and contribution to the aviation industry. Kathy was awarded as the Women's Executive Top 100 Most Powerful Women in Canada.
The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Vanguard Weekly Podcast Series, CGE Weekly Podcast Series, Vanguard Radio Podcast and CGE Radio Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not represent those of Vanguard or any affiliated media products, their employees, or owners. Vanguard Magazine, Canadian Government Executive Magazine, and its affiliates are not responsible for and do not verify for accuracy any of the information contained in this podcast series. This podcast may not be copied or distributed without express written approval of Promotive Communications, Inc., PCI. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast without consent from PCI. PCI assumes no liability for activities in connection with this podcast or for use of this podcast with any other website, computer, or playing device.